Okay, as we continue in our booklet by J.C. Ryle, entitled, Do You Think You Are Converted? We want to continue. We've already covered number one, two, and three. Number one is conversion is scriptural. Number two is conversion is a real thing. And number three is conversion is a necessary thing. Today, I want to read for you again another guy in the Bible who truly got converted. And let's turn our Bibles to the book of Acts. Luke chapter 19. Yeah, this is the story of Zacchaeus, or that we call Zacchaeo. Luke chapter 19. This is another guy who also got truly converted. 19 from verse 1 up to 10. Luke 19 from 1 up to 10. And the Bible says this. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. 7. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, he has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Yeah, this is another story in the Bible of someone who truly got converted, Zacchaeus. They tell us that he was a publican, just like Matthew. Publican, and I told you when we went through Matthew, when we were studying about the conversion of Matthew, that publicans in our country today, we can equate them to URA officers, Uganda Revenue Authority officers. And as we know all, we know it very well that not only in Uganda, but in many other countries, people who work in the revenue collection, a big number of them are sinners. Why? Because of bribe. That job is so tempting. That job is so tempting because people who do trade, who do business, would want to come to you and try to talk to you kindly and bring gifts to you, money, so that you at least reduce for them, or you let them go. And for the sake of their stomach, they forget their countries, because the collection of tax helps the country. But these people become selfish by ignoring or forgetting all the people, the citizens of their country, at the mercy of their bellies. So these guys are sinners because of that. They are thieves. Not all of them, but the majority, I know very well, the majority of people who work in tax collection are really sinners because they are thieves. They steal the money of the country by taking bribe. So this guy was also like that, was a publican or a tax collector, and very rich. Yeah, you find mostly a number of these guys who work in the Uganda Revenue Authority rich. They have plots of land, they've built, they have cars, their children go to good schools. Yeah, so Zacchaeus was also rich. He was a rich guy. Yeah, so again, you can see that wealth, being rich, is not at all a sign of godliness. Because many churches and many pastors are deceiving their members in their churches that when you get born again, when you get converted, you exactly have to be rich. It's a must, because that's when the people of the world will know that you are really the child of the king. That's a lie. That's a total lie. Because wealth is not at all a sign of godliness. No, not at all. So, Zacchaeus, Jesus Christ was famous. He had to be famous. He did not seek fame like many of the pastors and the religious people do these days. They want to be known. Many even start their radio and TV stations not because they want to preach the gospel, but because, one, they want to compete with the other pastor or the other church, and two, because they want to be known. And you remember what I told you the other day, that we are praying hard that the Lord will remove that snare from our way of trying to be famous, trying to be known. We want to live our lives striving to know Him more and make Him known more. So you yourself, you should work hard to know Him better, because the more you know Christ, the more you will tremble before His glory, before His majesty. So also make Him known to others. Yeah, so Jesus Christ was famous. He did not look for that fame, but because of His good deeds and His good teachings, He was pointing people not to Him, but to the kingdom. Obviously, He is God, and He said, come to me, all of you who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So He was really pointing people to Himself, because He is God. We have to point people to Him, because not to us, because we are nothing. Yeah, so... But he was pointing them more to His Father, to His Father's will, to His Father's kingdom, which is His kingdom. And so whenever he was passing in a place, in a location, people wanted to see Him. Remember the story of the Bartimaeus, the blind. He was just every day sitting near the road, begging, as you see even in the streets of Kampala. We have many people who beg there, and they are always there asking for people to give them something to go and survive on. So when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus Christ was passing, he cried and said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those are powerful words that I always tell you about conversion. Just few words. Jesus, Son of David, or Son of God, have mercy on me. It's just, if you want to be truly saved, you don't need pages of words. You just need to ask Him to have mercy on you, because you cannot save yourself. So Zacchaeus also came among the crowds. He was very short. Yali mumpi. So he could not see Christ. Many people want to see Him. This famous Jesus of Nazareth is coming. So he also came and climbed a sycamore tree. Yeah, so there at least he could see Him. So when Jesus passed and reached where Zacchaeus was, he looked up and saw Him. He said, wow, this is big faith already. Because if this guy can climb this tree, simply because he wants to see me, he does not look at his wealth or Gagawe. He does not look at it. He wants to see me. He was a known guy, respected guy in the community, but does not look at all that. He wants us to see me. He said, no, Zacchaeus, calm down. Calm down, I'll be your visitor today. And the guy was very glad to hear that. He came down, and immediately they went. I can't tell where Jesus was going, but the Bible tells us that he had entered Jericho and was passing through, going to where, I don't know, maybe they say he was passing through Jericho. So Zacchaeus came, he took him to his home, And people were astonished because they started grumbling or murmuring. Okugeya. This man, we thought he was holy. But what is he going to do at a sinner's home? So you see already what I've been telling you, that Zacchaeus was a sinner. And everyone knew him as a sinner. Because they were grumbling and saying, he has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. So you can't read anywhere that Zacchaeus was insulting people, killing people, but it's because he was stealing from people the revenue. Yeah, so, but Jesus Christ went, his God knew everything, and Zacchaeus served them whatever he had to serve them, and then he stood and said to the Lord. Now, these are powerful words as far as conversion is concerned. Jesse Ryle asked us a question, do you think you are converted? Now these words, he says, behold, Lord. First of all, he calls him Lord. He calls him Lord. Remember, at that time, many people were resisting the Lordship of Jesus. They did not want to accept that he was their Savior, their Messiah. They thought he was just a normal, mere child of a carpenter and Mary. Who had told Zacchaeus that this is his Lord, the Lord of his life? And here I am, Gandhi. So the Lord puts, the grace of God puts it automatically into your mind by faith. And here I am, Gandhi. Kwanga, let's be serious. If you look at Jonah, for example, me, his father, you, his mother, you, sister, brother, how can you really say, Jonah, Lord, where did you get that from? Just an example I'm telling, because people knew Jesus. They knew he was a normal human being. They knew his parents. So for someone to come out and refer to him as Lord, really that was just the illumination by the Spirit of Christ. Okay? So, behold, Lord. And if you want Jesus to save your life, he has to be Lord of your life. So I told you sometime back at church, at RBC, did you call? At RBC, I told you that many people easily want Jesus Christ to be the Savior of their lives, but they don't want him to be Lord of their life. Why? The difference between Savior and Lord. The Savior is someone who simply comes to redeem, to save you from some danger. Okay, follow me. Don't put your attention elsewhere. Just follow me. A savior is someone who simply comes to save you from some danger. Let me give you an example of our daily life here. Let's say you are moving at night and you come across a gang of robbers in the night, and they are assaulting you. They start beating you up, looking for your life. They want to kill you. And yes, they've taken you to a level that you are really about to die. But then someone, maybe a kanyama, someone strong comes and chases them all, beats them all, and saves your life. Then he gets you from there, takes you to the hospital. They treat you, he pays, then you are back to your life. He goes and you go. That's where salvation ends. That's where salvation ends. Just to come and save your life. But Lord is someone who does something beyond. Let me give you an example. This one, after saving your life, he wants to control your life. That's where the Lordship comes. Mukama, my boss. Just get an example of a slave and his master and his Lord. So you need to serve him. You need to obey whatever the Lord says. You might not easily obey whatever the Savior says. So Jesus, as our Savior, he came to redeem our life. But as our Lord, he's our Master, we need to obey whatever he says. Just as we sang yesterday again, it is so sweet to trust in Jesus and just take him at his word. So long as the Master said, just go with it. Don't start questioning, but is this real? Is this true? You just take him at his word. So long as the Master said, so long as it came from the mouth of the Master, take him at his word. That's where the Lordship comes from. But when you go to many so-called born-agains in many churches, they recognize Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they are willing Jesus to be their Savior, but not their Lord. Because that's where trouble comes. Jesus to be Lord of your life. Because you need to obey all His commands. He says here, those who love me will obey my commandments. That's where the Lordship comes. Because any master, even you, if you get a houseboy or a house girl, you are their boss. If they don't obey your commands, your laws at home, you will chase them and look for another one. That it's just automatic. They need to obey all your commands. I say by 8 a.m. all the house should be mopped already. You need to do A, B, C, D. You don't need to do A, B, C. That's where the Lordship comes from. So people want Jesus Christ to be only their Savior. They don't want Jesus Christ to be their Lord. And that's where the problem is. Even most of us here, Jesus Christ, you recognize Him as your Savior. Yeah, I know. He died for me. He saved me. Is He your Lord? Is He the Lord of your life? Is He the one who rules your life? Because, He can easily be your Savior according to your mind. But you live your life alone without Him. You conduct Him alone without Him. If He's Lord of your life, why do you behave the way you behave out there? If He's Lord of your life, why do you listen to what He hates? Why do you watch what He hates? What does not give Him glory? Can you really, let's say this is my home, and I have a house boy or a house girl, and I say, this is my TV, I don't want anyone to watch this, Chameleon, Bebe Kulu, Eddie Kenzo on my television set. And then, this house girl or house boy starts watching it. Is he obeying me or is she obeying me? No. So you need to go to abide by what your master wants. So back to our text. Zacchaeus did not call Jesus Savior here. Yeah, because remember here, Jesus Christ had not died. Had not died yet. So he said, behold, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. I want you to be my master. The half of my goods I give to the poor. He gets half of his wealth. So he wants to distribute it to the poor. And if I have defrauded, that is to rob by bribery and other means to defraud. If I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. Mirunjena. You gave me one shilling, I'll give you 4 shillings. And I'm sorry for that. Remember, as I was taking you through this booklet, Do You Think You Are Converted? The first day or the second day, I told you that conversion does not just end with your words. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Today, I come. Before you. Forgive me. Amen, amen. You are now born again. This preacher deceives your mind that you are born again. And your mind grabs that lie. You also deceive yourself. Your mind deceives you that you, from now on you are born again. People don't get born again like that. It does not end with words. It goes from words. It begins with words, yes. But it goes up to the deeds, actions, erikolwa. People believe that because they say the prayer, a sinner's prayer, sometime in their life, that made them born again. No, I say no. We need to see it. The brother is telling us that conversion is the real thing. So, Zacchaeus, you can see now a sign that true conversion entered his house, his heart, is amending, is restoring what he had broken. You remember King Manasseh, the first guy we looked at, King Manasseh, what did he do? At first, he erected idols inside the temple of God when he was still sinning against him. But after being disciplined by God, when he repented through his mighty prayer to the Lord, the prayer that touched the heart of God, the Lord restored him to his kingdom back in Judah. What he did, one of the first things was to enter the temple and break those idols and remove them. So the restoration. You need to go to the people you wronged and tell them, guys, I'm a new creature. I did A, B, C, D against you because I was still in the darkness. I'm now in the kingdom of light. Forgive me. Forgive me, please. And if I have your debt, I'll pay it back to you. Go to the people you used to sin with, that you call boyfriend, girlfriend. Tell them, you are not my husband, you are not my wife, please. It's over now. We will not be meeting again to sin. I'm a new creature. So, those are the signs that make people see, even without you telling them that I'm a born again. You don't need to sound an alarm. I'm a born again, just as you hear people after repeating a prayer, they start going up and down saying, I'm a born again. Yeah, I got saved yesterday, last week. You don't need to. Just live your life. Automatically, people will see it. Because salvation, conversion is a real thing. Just so Zacchaeus promises God that so you need to recognize your sin. It is not Jesus Christ who told Zacchaeus that he had defrauded. You cannot read it anywhere in scripture. It's not Jesus. It is himself. The grace that had befell him just showed him that, no, I am a defrauder. I'm a robber. I'm a bribe eater. I take bribe. And he repents before his Lord. You need to repent yourself. You don't need your father, your pastor, or anyone to guide you. It has to come from his Holy Spirit into your heart. And go into your room. Go anywhere and repent before your Lord. Tell him, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm a defrauder just like her. I'm a fornicator. I've been fornicating. I'm a liar. I'm an idolater. I worship idols in many ways. The idols of what you call musicians, icons, or famous simani, I don't know what. You worship them, Rema Namakul and what. You worship them in one way or the other. Ask him to forgive you. And Jesus, now listen, because that is repentance. These words from Zacchaeus, that is repentance. And Jesus Christ will say, whoever comes to me, I'll never chase away. I'll never. Jesus Christ is ever ready. And he says, Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. Today, when you come to the Lord, he does not postpone. Like people who go to look for a job somewhere. They say, okay, you've applied, we have given an interview, so go back, we'll inform you later. No! Jesus Christ does not do that. Immediately, you genuinely open your heart for him. He comes in. Immediately, he becomes Lord of your life. Today, salvation is coming to this house. And he ends by saying, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And that lost is you. No one else. It's you. Yeah, so this is another guy who truly got converted. Let me read quickly again from our booklet. And then we'll be going into prayer. So yesterday I read number three, conversion is a necessary thing, and I showed you that it is very important. You have to be converted. So let me now, with my own words, also add on what Brother J.C. Rall said here concerning this third one. The first one is, conversion is scriptural. It did not come from any mind of any person. It came from scripture, and scripture is the word of God. The scripture came from the mind of God himself. Number two, conversion is a real thing. It's real. It's a reality. And number three, it's necessary. Jesus Christ said, unless you be born again, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So if you want to enjoy the kingdom of God, then you must be born again. It's you must, not you can or you should. It is you must be born again. Obviously, the must here again, as J.C. Ryle said,
or says, it is not that you have to fake it, you need to force yourself into it. No. Again, it comes from him.
Yeah, so if you get born again, that will save you from many dangers in this life here. It will save you from the eternal fire that is coming. Yeah, so in the evening today we are going to look at the fourth one. Conversion is a possible thing. Had I started this yesterday? No, I don't started it. So we'll look at this today at 6 p.m. Conversion is a possible thing, so it's not difficult, it's really possible. But let me just end with the necessity. The conversion is very necessary. Look around the neighborhood. Okay, I've read that already. So let no man deceive us. There are two things which are, yeah, then I'd finished that yesterday. Yeah, so you need to look at the meditorial work of Christ for us, is atonement, satisfaction, and intercession. And then the second one is the work of the Holy Spirit that will break your stony heart to point you to conversion. Yeah, so in the evening we'll look at conversion is a possible thing. Yeah, we want to go into prayer. Yeah, today, again, we continue just praying for the pandemic of coronavirus in the world. That will be, we'll be praying for it every day. But also, let's pray for our children, our children, because adults are easy to control, or they can control themselves, but many parents are having it difficult to control their children. So let's pray that the Lord will keep our children home so that they don't, and many children don't listen to their parents. They go here and there, even if their parents tell them don't move around. They want to go and visit friends, so to just bring problem into themselves and their families. So let's pray for our children in this trying moment. Yeah. Let us also pray for the government officials. We just pray for them in Corona. When you pray for Corona outbreak, there you mention the government officials, the scientists, the doctors who are trying to work hard to get the vaccine. You'll pray for so all these things that go hand in hand with those who protect the people, like the police, the military. Yeah, so yeah, again, let us also continue praying for the sinners to come to Christ in this season. Yeah, let's then how are they going to get it? It's just by mercy. How are they going to get it? Yeah. So when we'll be praying for coronavirus, just pray for all that. Yeah, people can die with hunger. So let's pray for God's provision. Yeah, God's provision, because there are many people in Uganda who live on daily basis, on daily earning. They need to leave their homes to go and get food on the table. Now they have been stopped to move around, for moving around. So how are they going? Many people really could be a serious problem. Let's pray for God's provision in one way or the other. Yeah. Yeah, those who do other kinds of business like clothes, shoes, it will be a serious problem to them. Yeah. So let's pray for God's provision to his people in one way or the other. Not only in Uganda, but in all these countries under lockdown. Yeah, so we pray for that. Jonathan, you're going to raise your voice and pray for these items. Also pray for this day, that the Lord will keep us in it and guide us in his ways in it. Let's pray.